KQED. From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and today we're coming to you from KRCB in Sonoma County, where wildfires continue to ravage the region in day five of this horrific disaster. Winds are expected to pick up tonight through Saturday in the fire zones, where isolated gusts could go up to 60 miles per hour. In this hour of Forum, elected leaders whose districts have been impacted by fires and evacuations share how communities are faring, what they're doing to help meet their needs, and they take your questions. We'll get started after this news. From KQED Public Radio, welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and we're coming to you from Sonoma County at the radio station KRCB in Rohnert Park, which is also broadcasting the show today. 17 fires are burning in and around this region as firefighters begin to make progress on the blazes. Search efforts continue for some 350 missing in Sonoma, while family members and friends mourn the lives of the 31 people confirmed dead in Northern California. The risk of more fires and spreading continues into the weekend as forecasters again predict gusty conditions similar to the winds that started this fire. In this hour forum, we've invited elected leaders to share their reactions to this epic firestorm, as an early CAL FIRE tweet called it. We also get their assessment of the response effort so far and take your questions. And I'd like to give a very special welcome to KRCB listeners and my thanks to this station for hosting us today. And joining us right now is Steve Mencher. He's news director at KRCB. Welcome to Forum.
Thanks so much.
So what are the blazes nearest Rohnert Park? How close has the evacuation zone come to this station?
Well, Sunday night into Monday, when we came down to work, we were told that two areas of Rohnert Park were under watch. They were not under mandatory evacuation, but two areas of Rohnert Park, which would have received vegetation and would have been more rural areas where the fire could have come around down from Santa Rosa. People wanted to be sure that people knew that they should be careful in those two areas. And so we waited out a couple of days, and then finally the evacuations were lifted. But Rohnert Park is also the home of Sonoma State, and the Sonoma State students were told in no uncertain terms these last few days, if they had a car or if they had a way out, they should leave. Because if there was a mandatory evacuation of the SSU campus here, they would be put on a bus with just a few of their belongings. They would no longer have the opportunity to have their cars with them, and they would be forced to leave if the mandatory evacuations happened here.
Sonoma County sheriffs released the names of 10 victims yesterday. What can you tell us about them or your reaction to seeing those names?
Well, the first thing that they said about the victims was that the youngest of them was 57, and they ranged then into the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So it's clear that the county, for all the great and fabulous work it's done, may not have had a clear idea of where these people were. People were not necessarily identified as to if they were disabled, as if they were too old to get out. And the other thing is that this event happened in the middle of the night. This was Sunday night around 9, 10, 11. The fire started up, and they came down from the hills so quickly that people, for instance, in a mobile home park in Santa Rosa, the mobile home park was just taken out, and some of the people who were fatalities, I believe, were from that mobile home park. So we can tell you that they were older folks. They may not have had the opportunity to get out as quickly as we would have liked, and that will go, I'm sure, into the future planning for events like these.
And they were clearly couples or people related to each other. You saw the names Arthur Tasman Grant and Suiko Grant and Donna Mae Halber and Leroy Peter Halber.
Mm-hmm. There was one couple, of course, that was all over the news where one of them was 100 years old and they were not able to get out together and they perished together.
We understand that Charles Schultz, the Peanuts creator, that his home was destroyed.
Right.
What has been lost, Stephen Mencher, and what does that mean to the community here?
Well, Charles Schultz is such an important part of our community, the late Charles Schultz, the cartoonist. He devoted so much of his energy and love to the community. He built an ice rink for the community that people went to. That stuff is okay, But we were told that his home where he lived up until his death in 2000 was destroyed by fire, that his widow, Jean Schultz, who is a friend of our station, who's a wonderful person, she was able to just barely get out. And a stepson has said this. He said, it's the house he died in and all of their memorabilia and everything is all gone. He was quoted by the Associated Press. So that's very sad for our community. But we also want to make it clear, and this is very important to us, that no matter who it was, this was a fire that picked no favorites. The million-dollar, multi-million-dollar homes up in the hills destroyed, incinerated in a moment, and the Coffee Park neighborhood, which has been sort of the iconic view of what this fire looks like, blocks upon blocks of a subdivision literally incinerated. Those folks and their homes are no less or more important than anyone else's. It's just that the Schultz name and the Schultz family are so dear to us that we take that as a very dear loss as well.
And now we're hearing Steve Mencher that even though progress is being made on these fires, that this weekend they are expecting very strong winds. How is that affecting the mood here?
Well, you know, that happened once in the middle of the week.
Yes, so Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Wednesday night, Thursday morning, we were expecting winds. People were very much on edge. Those winds did not show up. We can hope that the winds don't show up, but these red flag warnings, which we had become kind of blasé about, that have been over the last few weeks, all the conditions have been ripe, the low humidity, the high winds. And one more time tonight, we're expecting that red flag warning. That just means that we have to be on high alert, and that also means that people are not being invited back into their homes, into the evacuation areas yet, even today. They have to stay at the shelters because the firefighters are not sure that all of the hot spots are out in those areas. So that's an area of concern as well. The shelters are still up and running. People are still asked to be evacuated from the mandatory evacuation zones. And as soon as those things change, you will know on social media and other ways.
Steve Mencher, news director for KRCB, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
And stay safe. We're joined now by Daniel Berlant. He's chief of public information at CAL FIRE. Good morning, Daniel Berlant. Daniel Berlant, are you with us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Can you first tell us, we've been hearing some better numbers in terms of progress on these fires. What can you tell us about containment as of this moment?
Yeah, overnight the winds were relatively light, as has been reported. That really allowed us a window of opportunity to make some good progress. So containment on all of the fires has increased. In fact, on the Tubbs fire in the Santa Rosa, Calistoga area, 25% contained now. The Atlas fire in the Napa region, it's 48,000 acres, but 27% contained. So we are making containment, but we did see overnight fire activity pick up in a number of areas. But with over 8,000 firefighters battling these fires, we are making progress.
And can you tell us how the firefighters are doing? We've been hearing reports that they are very stretched. They're doing multiple shifts. Where is that at right now? I know mutual aid has come in and more resources have come in the last couple of days, but how are they doing?
Crews have definitely been working long hours, but this is what we do all summer long on fires, and we've been able to get into a work-rest cycle of having firefighters out on the front lines for 24 hours straight, and then we bring them in and let them rest for 24 hours while other crews go out. So we flip-flop between these two shifts, working 24 hours at a time. Now, we've brought in hundreds of additional firefighters from other states, as well as the U.S. Forest Service has sent us reinforcements as well. This has allowed us to continue to relieve those firefighters that have been battling these fires from day one. But also, it gives us plenty of more resources here in California because with those red flag warnings, the chances of new fires igniting is increased. And that's why it's so important with these conditions that everyone across the state, not just in these fire areas, but across the state, be extra careful, extra cautious to prevent sparking a new fire.
And to prevent sparking a new fire by... Not parking, say, in dry grass.
Yeah, parking in dry grass, throwing cigarettes out, using powered equipment like lawnmowers or weed eaters in the heat of the day. A metal blade on a lawnmower can actually strike a rock and spark a fire. If you're driving a trailer, if it has chains on it, make sure those chains are properly secured. People going out camping this weekend, if for whatever reason you're in an area where campfires are allowed, you've got to make sure that that campfire is completely extinguished. So anything that has an open flame, anything that causes a spark, you've got to be careful, because really one less spark this week means one less wildfire for us.
Now, in the last 24 hours, some evacuation zones have actually begun to shrink, and they've allowed people to come back. Is that going to change because of these wind conditions?
We are continuously working very close with our law enforcement partners to try to return residents in areas that we believe are safe. But new evacuations may be called in the future. So anybody who lives around these fires, if they're in an evacuation advisory area, or if they're just in the general Napa-Sonoma County region or even Lake County region that are not under evacuation advisories, they still need to be watching things closely. Be prepared. If winds shift, if conditions change, and the fire burns in a new direction and starts moving towards another area, we will work with the Sheriff's Department to notify residents and try to increase those evacuation zones as quickly as possible. But as we saw Sunday night, oftentimes these fires can burn faster than we can get those alerts out. So people have to be cautious and have to be paying attention and be ready to go if those alerts do come out.
You've actually said several times that new fires could start, these fires could spread. If there are people who still have homes in the region that are hoping to and are still able to access them, what can they do to make their homes safer?
Well, if you're still, if you're not evacuated and you have time, so you're at home, maybe in an evacuation advisory, this is the time where you really need to be preparing to evacuate. It's too late to do defensible space around your home. It's too late to do the clearance that hopefully you have already done. But preparing for evacuation is the key. Having an evacuation plan of where you're going to go if you're evacuated out of the area. Have a contact and tell somebody from your family that lives out of the area, I'm going to call you and let you know when I'm evacuated so that all your rest of your family knows that you're safe. But plan. We call this the six P's of preparedness. Have your people and pets. Know where your family members are at all times so that if you're evacuated, you can quickly round up any animals you have, all your family members, and get out quickly. Put the important documents like birth certificates, passports, important phone numbers all in one location. Add your prescriptions, vitamins, eyeglasses, your pictures, and other irreplaceable memories. Again, put them in that central location. Personal computers, hard drives, backup disks, all in that location, and plastic. That includes credit cards, ATM cards, as well as even cash. Put all those items in one place. Put them in your car now so that when the evacuation notice occurs or you feel unsafe and you feel you need to leave the area, you can do so at a moment's notice. We have all that evacuation information, the six P's, as well as an evacuation plan on a website ready for wildfire.org. That's where you can get all the information on how you can be prepared for a wildfire ahead of time.
Daniel Bonnet, before I let you go, I just have one more question, which is, how are resources allocated in these fires? And when the wind picks up the way that it's predicted to over the weekend, can you even fight them in those conditions when the winds are that high?
We will battle these fires, whatever Mother Nature throws at us. Obviously, strong winds when it becomes 50, 60 miles an hour is very difficult. We do have to change our tactics sometimes. We may have to pull back a little bit to find a safer spot to really hold the fire back. But we will aggressively fight a fire with whatever wind or Mother Nature throws at us. But to battle this number of fires at one time, all needing resources, we have an operations center up in Redding, California, that oversees all of the Northern California area. It's a multi-agency, local, state, and federal. That's where we make determinations of where we're going to send resources, which fires need what and when. And so as they all request fire engines, that center is working 24/7 to actually request engines from out of the area and then assign them. Aircraft work the same way. These are all regional assets that will move around fire to fire depending on the needs of the incident. It's all coordinated at a local, state, and federal level, all one location, so we can make sure that we're quickly and efficiently getting resources to the places they need to go.
Well, Daniel Berlant, thank you. I wanted to ask that because I was at a community meeting in Napa last night, and that question came up quite a bit, just in terms of how decisions are made about where you're going to allocate resources. Daniel Berlant, Chief of Public Information at CAL FIRE, thanks again, and best of luck.
Thanks.
Well, let me introduce the elected officials who are with us today to take your questions. Joining us is James Gore. He is a member of the Board of Supervisors for Sonoma County, and he represents the 4th District, which runs from northern Santa Rosa to the Mendocino County line, which was hard hit by these fires. Good morning, James Gore.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And thanks for being here. Also, Jared Huffman is with us. He is congressman for the North Bay. He represents California's 2nd Congressional District, which covers 6 counties, including all of Marin, Mendocino, and much of Sonoma. Good morning, Jared Huffman.
Good morning, Mina.
We're also joined by John Garamendi. He represents the 3rd Congressional District. He's also former Lieutenant Governor of California. Good morning, Congressman John Garamendi.
It's good to be with you, and thank you for the program. It's very, very helpful to everyone that might be listening.
Thank you. Thank you, John Garamendi. We really appreciate that. Well, Supervisor Gore, if I could just start with you, just because I know that your region was hit so hard, and I just want to hear if you are satisfied with the response that you've seen so far and whether or not the devastation that is being experienced in the Santa Rosa community and further north is something that you feel confident will be limited to just the events that happened this week.
You know, the biggest thing I'm frustrated in is the fire. This is a true natural disaster, as we've come to find out. People think because we have firefighters, that means we can manage a fire, as opposed to if we had hurricane fighters or tornado fighters. But the reality is when we have a natural disaster with these kind of winds, everybody is just working around the edges, trying to take away its fuel, take away its fury. You know, all I focus right now is two words. One is future and now, because we have Congressman Huffman and I represent really the area around the Pocket Fire in Geyserville that's still burning, actively increasing evacuation zones up in North County, but primarily a wildlands fire. And then at the same time, representing basically devastation. Coffee Park, my cousins are living with us right now, who had to leave within 3 minutes from their house. He said when he walked out and opened the garage door in Coffee Park, it was like a tornado. He almost couldn't stand up in the wind, and it's just heartbreaking. I took him and my cousin, his wife, over yesterday. And so we're in this crazy world where we're simultaneously dealing with issues like repopulation, trying to get toxic elements out of the air and let people go back and see if they can find their wedding rings underneath rubble. And then at the same time, we're actively battling another fire. And, you know, for me, there's two things that come out of this is just realistically speaking is just the utter magnitude of people needing information and it not needing to be over-controlled, over-command and control, because we don't want to start rumors. We don't want to flush rumors, but we want people to know what's going on. They need it. It's the only way we can survive in these moments. But number two is I am emboldened by what our community and what I am seeing, the points of light that are coming out of this this sorrow. And this is something that us as leaders need to think about, not just to lead a recovery effort that takes us back to the present, but this shows us that we are not built to withstand these kinds of things, and we need a more resilient community.
Well, I want to get to more of that later in the hour, but Jared Huffman, you represent parts of Sonoma, yes, but could you give us an update on what's happening in Mendocino?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. I was at a town hall yesterday at Ukiah High School, maybe 500-600 people, and there's a lot of fear and chaos that's inherent in these type of events. Up in Mendocino County, it's exacerbated by the feeling that they've been forgotten, because much of the Bay Area media mentions only Sonoma and Napa.
And do they feel like that mentioning of those two counties also diverts resources away from Mendocino?
That's the
resources?
Fear. You know, there's also concern when Bay Area news channels talk about disaster areas that have been declared and they list off Napa and Sonoma. The truth is Mendocino County has been included in those presidential disaster areas and the FEMA disaster approvals, but that's not always covered by the bigger media outlets. So we did what we could to bring folks that assurance yesterday. The truth is the Redwood Complex fire is a big one. It has had an enormous impact. I just heard this morning from Sheriff Allman that the death toll in Mendocino County has gone up. It's going to be 8 deaths as of right now, and that number will climb because they're just now getting into some of these devastated areas and doing the grim recovery work. I was on the fire line last night at the northeastern edge of this fire to watch an incredible aerial assault, helicopters dipping into the Eel River one after another, going up to the ridgeline above Potter Valley and targeting the flames, hand crews on the ground with bulldozers, cutting a break, lighting backfires. The good news is that incredible effort held last night. The fire did not advance. We're beginning to get some containment. So if we can keep these winds at a manageable level, I think the worst should be behind us in Mendocino County.
The last numbers I saw were some 5% containment in the Redwood Fire. So hopefully those numbers will grow. But overall, you are reassuring people that the response effort is, in fact, adequate for Mendocino County.
I think the resources are there. It's a very difficult fire.
Hmm. Well, we're joined by John Garamendi as well. And Congressman Garamendi, can you talk about how the areas that you represent, including Yuba County, and how they're being impacted by this fire?
Certainly. My district cuts across a wide swath of Northern California. Right now in the Fairfield area, there are mandatory evacuations in the northern portion of that community in Green Valley area and advisories to the south of that. Very, very concerned about the winds, which will be coming from the north and pushing that fire further towards Fairfield. I'll be down there later this afternoon to meet with the various fire officials and local community leaders. So that's a major concern. Also, on the other side of California, up in the foothills of the Sierras, we have the Cascade or the Wind Complex fires, probably some 20,000 acres in total. We know 4 people have died in that area. It's ongoing, maybe 40 to 50% containment. Once again, the winds tonight are going to cause potential problems. Firefighters are out. They are working very, very diligently on this. I also represent the part of McClellan Air Force Base where these aerial bombardments are fueling up, loading up with the water and the retardant and dropping it all across this entire region. My real concern is that the families have been devastated. I was the insurance commissioner back in 1991 when the Oakland Hills fire erupted. The horror of that fire is now being once again visited upon Northern California, the Santa Rosa area, as my colleague Mr. Huffman described up in the Mendocino area and over in my area. Middle of the night, people are asleep, and the evacuations notices were not heard, and people died literally in their beds. It is a very, very devastating thing. It's going to take a long time to recover. The insurance industry is going to have enormous challenges addressing all.
And we'd like to talk with you more about that. We're just coming up on a break right now. If we could keep you here for just a little longer, Congressman Garamendi, I want to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And also really welcome calls from our KRCB listeners. You can also post comments on Forum's website at kqed.org/forum. You can email us, forum@kqed.org. or post comments on Facebook and Twitter. We'll have more with elected officials who represent the areas that are burning after this break. I'm Mina Kim. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're bringing you the latest news on the wildfires burning across Northern California from Sonoma County at KRCB in Rohnert Park. We're hearing from elected officials about how their respective communities are faring, and in this next half hour, we'll also hear what they're doing to help and their assessment of the situation. What questions do you have for these local and federal representatives, our congressional representatives, and our local supervisor, James Gore? The number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, on our Facebook. Facebook page and tweet us at KQED Forum. Our email address is forum@kqed.org. As I mentioned, James Gore, who is a supervisor for Sonoma County and represents the area in northern Santa Rosa to the Mendocino County line, is with us. We're also joined by Jared Huffman. He is a congressman for the North Bay, and his district covers six counties, including all of Marin and Mendocino and much of Sonoma. And we have John Garamendi on the line. He is the representative for the 3rd Congressional District and California's former lieutenant governor. And John Garamendi, you were talking to us also with your experience in insurance as well, which in this time when we have a fire that's devastating whole communities, can we be assured that dollars won't be stretched so thin that people will be able to get the resources they need to rebuild?
Well, the regulations that we wrote back in the 90s following the Oakland Hill fire, and then again in the 2000 where we had many fires in Southern California, really require the insurance industry to fully and promptly pay claims. Most of the insurance industry, the big companies, are certainly already at the various evacuation sites. I'm sure they've set up their mobile offices and are taking claims. So people that are out of their homes, they do have coverage for payments for motels and other expenses. If the home is gone, then they have extended coverage for out of home. They need to immediately contact their insurance company, either directly by the phone or go to one of these mobile offices that are out there. Another big important piece of this is work that Jarrett and Mike Thompson and I and other members of Congress did yesterday, and that was to move out of the House of Representatives a $36 billion emergency appropriation, of which half of that money is for FEMA in the current emergencies from Puerto Rico to the Keys to Houston and the California fires, providing federal money to backstop all of the efforts that are being done by the local firefighters, and also to provide emergency payments for people that have been forced out of their homes or have lost their homes totally. Once again, people that are in those circumstances need to contact the FEMA offices, which are being set up, one of which I'm going to meet very quickly here in Yuba City, where the evacuation and command center is for the Cascade Complex just to the east of Marysville up in the foothills. So with all of that's in place. It should be working. I know that the insurance commissioner is working on this, as is the state, making sure that these resources, the insurance industry resources, are there. I have little doubt that, in fact, I have no doubt that the insurance industry will be able to pay claims, and certainly the laws and the regulations require that they pay them fully and promptly.
Well, Congressman Garamendi, I know we need to let you go in a couple of minutes, but you are on record saying that you are concerned that the federal funds that will be needed will be there. What do you see as the biggest threats to the needed federal funds?
Well, there are two different pieces to this. One is the emergency underway. The appropriation from yesterday's work has to go to the Senate this next week. I'm sure that they will pass it. And that will provide sufficient money for the immediate emergency. My concern really deals with the restoration. The counties and state and local cities will have to rebuild the infrastructure, schools and other kinds of infrastructure. The federal government shares in that cost. Right now, there are IOUs, the federal government owes in the state of California bills that date back to the Loma Prieta earthquake. And so I'm very concerned about that. We're working with others around the nation that are in similar situations where, frankly, the federal government has stiffed the local communities, a particular problem in Lake County and up in the Sierras, where these counties are facing very severe financial stress as a result of the past fires. The Valley Fire up in Lake County, the Butte Fire up in Calaveras, Amador County are just examples where the local governments have put the money up to rebuild these critical infrastructure, roads, etc., and the federal government has been slow to pay. So that's what we're concerned about going forward, because once again, Lake County is facing a new fire right now. And in all probability, we'll see more fires over the next month and a half in these other county areas.
Well, Congressman John Garamendi, who represents the 3rd Congressional District and is our former lieutenant governor, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Sorry I have to run, but I have some responsibilities here in Yuba City. Bye-bye.
We appreciate your time. Well, Kate asks, I've heard officials reassuring undocumented residents that they don't have to worry about deportation threats at shelters, etc., but can your guests please speak to plans for assisting undocumented families who won't be eligible for FEMA and other forms of assistance? In terms of communication, how are they ensuring that Spanish-speaking residents are getting important information? Congressman Huffman, I'll go to you first on this.
I can shed a little bit of light on that, Mina. So one of the things we heard right as the evacuations began in my district was that we were seeing a lot an exodus basically from the immigrant community to the beaches. They were afraid to show up at shelters. They were afraid that FEMA was going to ask for identification and that they would get caught up in a deportation sweep. So we began immediately pressing ICE to put out a statement. They did this with the hurricanes. They said that they wouldn't do any non-criminal enforcement at shelters and other facilities. But it's taken them a little while. Finally, we got that statement this morning. So this is good news, and I'll just read it if it's okay with you. This is straight from ICE. It says, in consideration of these distressing circumstances, ICE will continue to suspend routine immigration enforcement operations in the areas affected by the fires in Northern California, except in the event of serious criminal presenting a public safety threat. Likewise, immigration enforcement will not be conducted at evacuation sites or assistance centers such as shelters or food banks. So this is, I hope, a helpful piece of the assurance that many need. Our local officials have been even more specific. The sheriff emphasizes this at every turn. The county, our state friends at Cal OES, nobody is checking documentation status at shelters, food banks, hospitals, any of the facilities where we need people to go if they need help.
But James Gore, there's a bigger question here in Kate's question, which is about the resources that they will need to recover because they won't be eligible for things like FEMA assistance. So what kind of assistance can we give this community, of which there are very large populations, especially in this region, because of the wine industry?
Yeah, and if I may, I'm going to start just by a quick message, if anybody's listening. Para todos ustedes que están aquí como parte de nuestra comunidad, quiero decirles que estamos aquí como una comunidad unida. Y no me importa de dónde naciste, de dónde llegaste, cuánto tiempo se lleva aquí. Si usted es parte aquí, usted es parte de mi comunidad. I just said basically, anybody who's here, I don't care where you came from, how long you've been here, what you at, this is your home, this is our home. And I don't mean those as platitudes. I was just in Geyserville about 45 minutes ago talking with some field workers who weren't able to get out, and they were, and we were just going in Spanish. If anybody wants to see, it's an amazing interview that we kind of did on Facebook, on my Facebook page too. We have everything going on right now to also getting calls from people from Mexico, right, who are looking for their families. We have folks who, like as Jared says, this is a community that doesn't scream for attention if they're not given attention. This is a community that hides if they're not given attention. And so what we're trying to do is just get this out and get it strong and let people know that estamos aquí para defenderles. We're here to defend you. Okay. On terms of the recovery, I want to just go real quickly outside of the other stuff is that this everything that's been going on with ICE, everything with federal immigration discussions, and everything that's going on right now has forced us to have a conversation in our community that we should have started 30 years ago. Okay? We're not dealing with just immigration at the end of the pipeline. We're dealing with the fact that we have been doing substantial outreach because of immigration-related issues. And so we finally have a team in place that's been reaching out. Local organizations, Indivisible Cloverdale, Corazon Hillsburg, Indivisible Santa Rosa, that have been doing this work. So it's going to be dependent upon us to say, okay, if we can't use the federal funds for some of that stuff, then what we're going to use is maybe the North Bay Recovery Fund. Maybe we're going to move over and get things in a different way. Maybe we're going to create a partnership with Walmart like that we're working on, right? So that doesn't even get into the situation of needing paperwork.
Well, we've got calls coming in, and I'd like to go to Allie from Alameda. Hi, Allie. Hi, Allie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah. So with the early days of a disaster, I'm very familiar with the vulnerabilities and high risks of child trafficking, and I haven't heard any officials or departments touch upon that, and I was just really curious about any protective or preventative measures in place to address that need rather than reactive, like after the dust has settled, and then discovering a lot of children have been trafficked, because it's an ongoing problem in Alameda County, of course, and in California in general. So could someone speak
and,
to that?
You're seeing an You're concerned, you're saying that child trafficking goes up during these disaster situations?
Very much so.
Hmm. Well, let me ask our representatives to respond. James Gore.
Well, I was just going to say, I think this is a part of a larger question, which is that, and a statement, which is that you see the best and the worst of people come out in these situations. We have amazing camaraderie and other things, and then we have predators in our community. But we haven't heard anything specific to child trafficking, to start with.
How about you, Representative Huffman?
I have not, but I think that's exactly right. You see the best and the worst in people, and I think there should be zero tolerance for anything predatory in these circumstances.
Well, let me ask you this question, which is, I'm hearing anecdotally, and I haven't been able to confirm this personally, but concerns that workers, especially at wineries, are being pressured to come out and try to pick very quickly, even in these conditions, to try to save as many grapes as possible, even while public health officials are asking people to stay indoors. What can you say to people who are feeling pressured to leave but want to be reassured that they won't lose their jobs if they don't?
You know, personally, I can talk a little bit about this. I represent a lot of the wine country. And yes, there is an active harvest going on at the same time. But the question is where is it dangerous and where is it not? You know, the triage level of what you have going on, first and foremost, no matter what, is health and safety. You know, danger from fire. But at the same time, if there's huge issues with particulate matter and air and things, people should not be out there. And there's actually a lot of the harvest has been stopped because of that. Now, harvest can stop for a few days. Let's be very real. There's no need, you know, there's people who are worried about there, but the reality is that your grapes can wait a few days if we're talking about people's health and safety. So, you know, that's the message we're trying to get out, but where it's appropriate that people can get out in Dry Creek and in other areas where they don't have as many problems, we need to keep doing what we need to do.
But the air quality is so terrible. I mean, it's been beyond unhealthy. Jared Huffman.
Well, look, this is a problem for anybody that has to be outside.
Yes, any outdoor workers.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I've just finished several days in a row now of watching first responders, all sorts of public safety officials, firefighters out there. And I have to say, I see a lot of air masks around people's necks and not over their mouths and noses. And I think it's really, and I'm guilty of this too. I've been breathing this air now for 4 days in a row, and I'm starting to have some effects. I think all of us need to heed the warnings that we hear from public health officials and put those masks on.
And let's go to more calls. And again, that number is 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. And we especially welcome calls from our KRCB listeners, as KRCB has kindly hosted Forum today here in Sonoma County and is broadcasting this show. You can also post comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, on Facebook, on Twitter, or email us, forum@kqed.org. Mary from Sacramento. Hi, Mary.
Hello?
Hi, Mary.
Yes. Am I on? Should I speak?
Yes. Yep. What's on your mind?
This is in response to a question that came in yesterday, and I hope it fits in with what the officials are saying right now. This is to folks, especially low-income people, that lost their jobs. Say they were restaurant workers and their restaurant got burned out, or they worked in the winery industry and have lost their job because of the fire. They should put in unemployment insurance applications. Their applications will be processed on an expedited basis because they are in a declared disaster area. So some of the red tape will be able to be cut through quickly so that the payments to them can start more rapidly. So they should do that.
Well, thanks for telling us that, Mary. I think that's very helpful information. Bruce writes, after the Oakland fire, a number of cities adopted fire-resistant roofing standards. Did Napa or Sonoma counties do this? Were fire breaks of vegetation or routine fire hazard reduction enforced over the years? James Gore, can you respond to Bruce's
this
question?
Is a perfect thing, because in a perfect world, I mean, first of all, anything new that's built requires different standards. But let's realize we live in a community that we have folks who are still living in farmhouses from 1890. right? And they've had updates and other things like that. So California code does require certain things in fire-prone areas. Sprinklers is primarily one of those. All of these new entities in fire danger areas need to have sprinklers if we're talking about ag buildings, other things as well. But you know what we're talking about is that once a fire gets to this level of ferocity, no amount of planning can attend to that. So, so I think it's a very good point. But let's move over to your talking about our fire breaks and forest, our other things. You know, one of the biggest things that we're dealing with up in these mountain areas is the fact that we had historic rainfall this year. So juxtapose that, the biggest rainfall we've had in the history of Sonoma County, now over to the biggest fire danger or disaster we've had in the history of Sonoma County. And you think think those would be different, but the reality is that think about all that grass that grew this last year. Think about the fact that over the summer it baked all year, and this is the worst conditions you can have. So things are burning. You know what I found when I was up on the pocket fire is that the places that were the best were where cows had been grazing. That where the fire was raging the least was not where you had people out there doing high-tech data acquisition and bulldozer movement. It was where they were actively managing their land as working landscapes, right? So some of it's funny because you can think about how do we adapt from this and create a world of tech and notification and other things. And other stuff is like solutions from the past that we have to bring forward and implement.
Well, it's your job as representatives of this region to look ahead.
Absolutely.
And so I want to know what you're focused on. So you know, James Gore, you're talking about how we went from terrible. We went from a very wet winter to a very dry and hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned about the effects of a wet winter again? I mean, we're not far from the rain season.
I think, and this is something that Congressman Huffman and I are going to have to work on really diligently because, you know, before this, I was an appointee in the administration. I worked for the Secretary of Ag and led conservation efforts around the country. And basically, I traveled to places in Colorado where I saw this. And then what I saw afterwards is that if we didn't get like the Emergency Watershed Protection Program out of the Natural Resources Conservation Service on the ground, condition the land, prepare it for a wet winter, that what we do is we turn a crisis into a nightmare. Basically, all of a sudden, if we get the kind of rains we did last year, imagine the devastation and the flooding that's going to come into this area. And it's going to be sustained. So we are already thinking about that. Supervisor Rob Brown, who was a point person for the Valley Fire, was with us yesterday morning. We had a roundtable with him and took down all kinds of things. What did you learn? What do we need to focus on right now? And the primary of which, sorry, I'm thumping your table because I'm getting all excited, but the primary of which is that at the same time, no matter what's going on around you, recovery starts today.
Congressman Huffman, one of the questions that has come up that I've heard is whether or not, because there are very clear links in many people's minds to climate change mm-hmm. and the wildfires we're seeing, and whether or not the severity of this disaster will make it easier for you to basically get the folks in the administration, right, to recognize climate change as a real and imminent danger and allocate resources towards mitigating its effects.
We will try to make that happen. I think the cumulative toll of all of these disasters that we've seen, this is a year like, you know, maybe many people haven't seen since 1964. So it's going to be becoming harder for climate deniers to ignore science in the face of these intense and more frequent disasters. And that's got to be part of the response. But I think every time there's a disaster like this, we have to take a good hard look at everything we learn and try to make some changes. One of the things that I've heard in several areas hit by these fires was that the notification system is inadequate. You know, when the winds kick up and surprise everyone and a fire starts moving over vast areas in a matter of hours in the middle of the night, we got to have a better way to let folks know. We have this wonderful Nixle system that can give you alerts on your cell phone, but it's opt-in. And a lot of people only learned about it during this fire.
Right. And what happens when, hopefully there are lessons for what happens when communication infrastructure goes down that has mm-hmm. clearly been very heavily relied on by our emergency officials.
Exactly.
Speaking of causes, though, I have one other question, which is I'm curious, Congressman Huffman, about what you think about the possibility that downed power lines played a big role in this. We've had our own Paul Rogers at KQED mm-hmm. talking about maybe PG&E is culpable for what happened because of poor maintenance of, you know, transformers and power lines.
Well, certainly there's a lot of evidence pointing to that being part of the problem. And one of the questions that I'm asking is I see these PG&E crews out working feverishly to get lines back up. Are we just replacing them with the same system, the same type of technology that was vulnerable and failed us in these high winds? I hope not. But these are the kind of hard questions that we have to ask. Anytime that we have an opportunity to do something better, for example, if there's an opportunity to put these lines underground so that they're not vulnerable to high winds, we need to maybe be more aggressive in looking at that. What you always hear when we talk about undergrounding of power lines is it's too expensive. Well, that seems like a pretty silly argument in the face of the billions and billions of dollars we're going to be dealing with responding to the damage here.
Well, let's go to more calls. Let's go to Philip from Clear Lake. Hi, Philip. Hi, Philip.
I couldn't help but call. Yesterday, I was towing trailers out of an evacuation up by Middletown, and I was going down Highway 29 near Yonville, and this is what I saw. On both sides of the roads, maybe 100 cars, field workers out there picking grapes. The smoke was so thick from Yonville, from the hill, Sonoma fire, was so thick. I had my headlights on. I couldn't drive very fast. And these guys are out there with no respirators. That's criminal.
Well, Philip, thanks for sharing that. I think this sounds like an issue. I'm seeing the heads of our representatives nod here, so it looks like something that they're going to try to look into. I understand that we now have Congressman Mike Thompson on the line. Good morning, Congressman Thompson.
Good morning.
What can you tell us about the situation in Napa? I'm understanding that evacuation zones have been shrinking, but how are the people there preparing for the winds that are coming this weekend, and what are their plans? What are the areas they're most concerned about right now?
Well, as you no doubt know, that there's red flag warnings that will go into effect this evening through tomorrow, and they're expecting there's projections anyway for high winds, very high winds, and low humidity, which a combination of the two is a huge problem. And they are staffed up at an unbelievable number. There are firefighters out on the line. There's equipment out on the line. They have air support flying both in Napa and Sonoma side of this fire as much as they can. I think they've put record amounts of retardant on the ground so they can get this thing slowed down and get the human resources in there to fight the fire back. There's a couple of areas that are of concern. It's where it's coming over from Sonoma County on the west side of the valley, and then up as it goes into the Berryessa area, which would be the northeastern part of the valley. They've had success yesterday and last night. Their containment numbers have grown considerably on what's called the Atlas Fire. That's the one that's solely in Napa. They've increased their containment to about 27%. And I'm told it may be going up as we speak. So there's a lot of folks here, mutual aid from throughout the state. Every county in the state has personnel here, either law enforcement or firefighters. Many of the states across the country have sent aid. They're working these fires. We have mutual aid from the federal government. All the resource agencies, the Department of Defense is supporting this fire. And we have international mutual aid. Both Canada and Australia have firefighters on the ground. So this is a top priority, this fire. And they're just working wonderfully to make sure it gets put out.
Do you share Congressman Garamendi's concerns that there won't be the resources needed for the recovery phase of this, for the restoration phase of this?
Well, there's always a resource, a monetary resource concern, and the country has been hit hard over the last month. We've had hurricane damage, now the fire damage, so resources are scarce. We just need to make sure we can do everything possible to get the help that's necessary. Washington has already approved the federal firefighting assistance grants, which are very helpful. They've approved public assistance grants for both Napa, Lake, and Sonoma County, and that helps backfill the resources that are spent at the local and state level. And yesterday, FEMA approved and the White House signed off on the individual assistance grants, which will help folks who have lost property in this fire get back on their feet. And I expect that the Napa side of the fire and the Lake County side of the fire will see individual grants approved very shortly.
Mina, could I just add a friendly addition to what Mike Thompson just said? Mendocino County is included in all of those FEMA decisions, and I always want to make sure that people know they are included because all of that public and individual relief is now available in Mendocino County.
What can you tell your constituents right now? We have literally 10 seconds left.
They can go to huffman.house.gov, and we will make it as easy as possible for them to start the process of applying for that FEMA relief.
And James Gore, 5 seconds.
It's our go time. This is time where we rise up and get this done, not to just catch up with the present, but to build into the future. Thank you so much.
Supervisor James Gore for Sonoma County, Congressman Jared Huffman, Congressman of the North Bay, as well as Mike Thompson, North Bay Congressman representing Sonoma and Napa counties. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum, joining you today from KRCB in Sonoma County. We have another hour next looking at coping with the emotional toll these fires are taking. Do stay with us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.